committees. Good afternoon and welcome to a Juneau Afternoon for Monday, the 24th of September. This is Katie Bosler. You're listening to KTOO 104.3 FM in Juneau, Alaska. We have cloudy skies in the forecast today with scattered showers, cloudy overnight, more patchy fog with more showers in the evening, and the southeast winds to 10 miles per hour. Looks like rain is in the forecast from Tuesday through the rest of the week. We can safely say rain is likely. Who knew? Well, in the next hour, we will learn about the Juneau Roller Girls and the Babes in Toyland bout with guest Kylie Jackson, learn about activities surrounding October's Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and also we'll get a preview of Wednesday's singer-songwriter spotlight concert with guest Angelina Ahrens. And now, National Native News.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Beginning today, hundreds of organizations, schools, and tribes are putting on events to kick off Native Vote Action Week. As part of our ongoing series looking at the Native Vote, reporter Tristan Autone has more.
The National Congress of American Indians estimates that over 30,000 people will be participating this week to organize and mobilize Native voters. With the presidential election around a month and a half away, the main goal is to register Native Americans, educate voters on how to get to the polls, and discuss platforms and policies being offered by political parties and candidates. NCAI Executive Director Jacqueline Peta.
We have over a million eligible Native voters who are not registered. We're a small population in this country, but we are large in the areas where votes make differences. We're the swing vote in a lot of communities, and so our vote becomes very precious in this political environment. But we need every single Native to register and to turn out to vote.
NCAI's website, nativevote.org, offers more information on events going on around the country. And tomorrow, September 25th, voter registration groups around the nation will be hitting the streets to get voters registered as part of National Voter Registration Day. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autone.
The Tribal Energy Development and Self-Determination Act amendments of 2012 have passed the U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. Wyoming Public Radio's Irina Zhorov reports.
The act aims to simplify and expedite the process of leasing for energy development on tribal land. Wyoming U.S. Senator John Barrasso introduced it last October and has the bipartisan support of Chairman of the Indian Affairs Committee, Daniel Akaka. Here's Senator Barrasso.
The reason energy development is even tougher on reservations than it is in other land is that there's an additional level of bureaucracy. And that cuts through this. It gives tribes authorities to review and approve leases and business agreements. Because so many times people are just waiting and waiting and waiting to hear from the government. That's one of the biggest problems here is that the government is so slow.
Senator Barrasso says reservation land is often lacking energy projects, even while surrounding non-tribal land is booming. And this is due to the slow bureaucratic process. Federal agencies would continue to oversee the process, but the act limits the time they have to submit their decisions. The bill now goes to the Senate. For National Native News, I'm Irina Zhorov.
The American Civil Liberties Union of Nevada wants to know what type of information the FBI collected about Native Americans who spoke out against a bear hunt earlier this year. Willie Albright reports from Reno.
The ACLU has filed a Freedom of Information Act request over FBI actions against people who spoke out at a contentious hearing into whether Nevada should have a first-ever bear hunt. Several Native Americans, including members of the American Indian Movement, said they believe bears are sacred and should not be hunted. One A member was later arrested by the FBI and allegedly instructed to sign documents saying she was involved in terrorist activities. ACLU legal chief Stacy Pratt says the FBI also investigated several other Native Americans.
We're afraid that that type of harassment and intimidation can have the consequence of intimidating people and chilling speech. And that's truly unfortunate. And that's one of the reasons I think it's highly important to bring this information to light. And this is the reason we filed the FOIA request.
Pratt says further legal action is possible depending upon what the request reveals about the FBI activities. The FBI would neither confirm nor deny the investigations. For National Native News, I'm Willie Albright in Reno, Nevada.
During this month in 2011, the New York State Senate Select Committee on State Native American Relations held its inaugural meeting in Albany. The committee was formed to improve the government-to-government relationship between nine tribes and the state. The first-ever meeting addressed economic development and challenges. It included representatives of the Oneida, Seneca, and St. Regis Mohawk tribes. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kowanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
On KTOO FM 104.3, this is a Juno Afternoon, and this is your Monday host, Katie Bosler. And with me in the studio is Kylie Jackson, a roller girl. We got a roller girl in the house? And she is here to tell us about a big bout that's happening this Saturday night between the Juno All-Stars and the North Pole Babes in Toyland.
Yes. So we have, they're coming down to bout our girls on Saturday. And so we've picked the best of the best. Our All-Star team will be bouting them. So hopefully we'll come out on top. The bout starts at 7 p.m., but the doors do open at 6:15, so get there early if you want to grab those suicide seats in the front row.
Please explain suicide seats.
Suicide seating, the front row of the bleachers where you might you get the best action, and you might actually catch a wheel or two if things fire up.
So you might have someone land on you, something like that.
It's possible. There is some barricades to try to protect the audience, but
so this is happening at Centennial Hall at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. And if people want tickets, I know they've been kind of a hot commodity in the past. How do they go about getting them?
Yes, we do still have tickets available. You can go online to the JAC website, jac.org, I believe it is, or you can go to the JAC. You can get tickets at Hearthside Books or the Rainy Retreat Bookstore as well. They're $20 if you get them in advance, and there will be a few tickets reserved. I think maybe 15 or 30. You can get them at the door for $22. And any tickets that aren't claimed will be released at 7:15, so you can go and maybe get tickets then as well.
Okay, so even though it starts at 7, The tickets will be, so you just kind of, I guess the bout doesn't really start till probably, 7:30 or something?
It should actually start at 7,
okay.
But we are releasing tickets this time around in case there's no shows. If people reserve tickets but then don't show up, there's still that possibility to get in a little bit late if there's still seating available.
Okay, so I introduced this young woman as Kylie Jackson, but she also goes by Kylie Wyote.
Yes, that's my derby name.
So how do you pick a derby name? You all have these great derby names. Like a Bitter Glitter might show up at some point.
Right. I think there's a lot of different strategies to it. I really like plays on words, so that's kind of how I went about picking out my name. A lot of people will pick a physical characteristic or a personality trait that they really want to enhance or they really like, and so they might go off of that. Bitter Glitter, for instance, is very, very crafty. Most people know her work around town. She's kind of a big deal.
Yes, a wearable arts winner many times.
Yes, exactly. And so that's, her name kind of ties into that. So there's a lot of different strategies to that.
Yeah, so tell me, how long have you been a roller girl?
I am brand new. I'm what they call fresh meat. I just started skating in
August. So
you
get to be on the radio.
Yeah. This is my initiation.
So what made you decide to try to do this?
I personally have been to every roller girl bout locally. I've been a huge fan since the beginning. I know some of the skaters that have been around from the beginning, and it's just something that I've really enjoyed watching, and I'm just kind of a competitive person in general, so I like team sports and I like competition, and I kind of like trying things that I'm not very good at and trying to get better at them. So as somebody who's never skated before, this seemed right up my alley.
So you're, how does this work? If you've never skated before and you want to be a roller girl, what do you do?
Sure. Well, you can always, drop-ins are always welcome at our practices. If you want to come and scope the scene and kind of see if this is something that's for you, you can get more information from our recruitment team. You can just email them at recruitment@junorollergirls.com. I kind of knew that I was going to go for it, so I went ahead and got my gear. That's one thing that you'll have to provide yourself to start skating. So I got all lined up with gear and started coming to practice.
When are the practices?
Right now we are having practices on Wednesdays and Thursdays at Marie Drake. The Wednesday one starts at 6 and the Thursday one actually starts at 6:30. But that schedule is variable. We're kind of dependent on the other community schools type events that use that mm-hmm. space.
So I guess the first step is learning to skate.
Right. And when there's the girls have just been great, really willing to reach out and help teach. Jess Julie has been an amazing teacher for me since I joined.
Well, it really looks kind of scary to me.
Yeah, I think it does have that aspect. Definitely any sport where there's intentional contact with other players can be intimidating.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, that's amazing. As far as other sports, have you done any other sports?
Yeah, I do. I enjoy team sports in general, so softball is my big sport. I also play volleyball. I've done a little bit of basketball in the past.
Okay, so you've done sports where you have to have some contact with other people, and so
right,
yeah. Okay,
most of the time you're not intentionally knocking people down,
whereas you are in roller. So
yeah.
For the uninitiated, just in a nutshell, how does it work? The rules in a bout. I know people like skating around in circles really fast and then pushing each other, but that's about it.
Right. I think a lot of people get misconceptions from things like Whip It, where they're knocking each other out and whatnot. But there are lots of rules, and it is, every sport has potential for injuries, but it's pretty safe, I think, considering what's going on. But the goal is to basically you have your pack with your blockers, and then each team has a jammer that is skating around in the circle and trying to lap the other team's blockers. And so every time you pass, every time the jammer passes an opposing blocker, they get a point for their team.
Okay, so they don't get taken out pretty much.
Right. So the blockers' goals are to, A, help their jammer pass the other blockers, and to, B, stop the other jammer from passing them. So that's kind of where the physical contact comes into play.
Well, it looks like a lot of fun. All I know is it's a phenomenon. You know,
yeah.
It seems like women in this town are just going crazy to be roller girls.
Pretty great.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in. And just remind us where people can get tickets and how much they are.
Yeah, $20 for a ticket. If you get them in advance, you can get them on the Jack website, or you can go down to the Jack and pick them up, or Hearthside Books or Rainy Retreat Books all have tickets available. So get down there, pick them up, and we'll see you Saturday.
At 7 o'clock in Centennial Hall, bout between the All-Star Roller Girls from Juneau and the Babes in Toyland from North Pole.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Stars above, I fell in love with the queen.
queen of the roller derby. Now, Queenie's a lady, she's quiet and shy. Oh, don't you make her feel fine? Remember the time that a trucker from Dallas was callous to Queenie with his rude side. Now it came at night that it got much more. Bullet, you can jam all night. Make a full grown Thunderbird die with pride. But when we get home alone in love, she murmurs like a sweet morning dove. Ooh, oh, such a lady, she's quiet and shy. You make me feel good in this heart of mine. She's my love, she's a lady, she's a queen of the roll up there, baby. Queen of the roller derby.
Queen of the roller derby.
Talk about the queen of the roller derby.
Queen of the roller derby.
She's the queen of the roller derby.
Queen of the roller derby.
Oh, queen of the roller derby.
Queen of the roller derby.
She's the queen of the roller derby.
Queen of the roller.
Come help us kick off this season's KRNN Spotlight Series with a special singer-songwriter showcase on Wednesday, September 26th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Goldtown Theater. Join me, Angelina, your evening host, as we explore the music of local talent featuring Liz Snyder, Brooke Morgan, Dean Frank, and Irene Muller. Tickets are available online at krnn.org, the station, and at the door.
We heard Queen of the Roller Derby from Leon Russell from Kearney. Here's Dean Frank, one of the singer-songwriters featured at the showcase for KRNN at the Nickelodeon this Wednesday night.
Yeah.
that's Dean Frank, who will be part of a singer-songwriter showcase, which is happening on Wednesday night. Angelina Ahrens, who is a Wednesday Tideline host on KRNN, will be the host. And really excited about this event. This is going to feature Brooke Morgan, Irene Muller, Dean Frank, and Liz Snyder. So should be quite the event. Get your tickets now. You can get them here at the station. Also at the door. They are a little more expensive at the door. And you can also get them online. This is a Juno Afternoon, and coming up in about 5 minutes or so, around 3:30, we will be learning about October as Domestic Violence Awareness Month and events that are happening through the AWARE shelter for that. In the meantime, let's hear from the Writer's Almanac for today.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 24th of September, 2012. It's the birthday of Jim Henson in Greenville, Mississippi, 1936, who as a college freshman created a puppet show for a local TV station, and for it he created the character Kermit the Frog, made him from his mother's pale green coat and a ping pong ball. It was the beginning of the Muppets. It was in 1969. The show on public television, Sesame Street, was starting out, and they asked Jim Henson to join. It's the birthday of the poet Evan Boland, born in Dublin, 1944. She wanted to be a writer, and when she looked at the Irish literary tradition, she found almost no women poets in the ranks. So she set out to be one, writing about motherhood and about life in the suburbs. Evan Boland, who said, "Poetry is one of the most fugitive arts. It can be assigned to memory, taken and hidden in the mind, smuggled into smoky cabin back rooms, recited there, and then conveyed only by speech to another person. It is therefore the most likely to survive colonization." It's the birthday of F. Scott Fitzgerald, born in St. Paul, 1896, at Princeton University. He fell in love with a beautiful rich girl named Ginevra King, who got engaged to somebody else because Fitzgerald did not have great prospects. He said later, "She was the first girl I ever loved, and she ended up throwing me over with the most supreme boredom and indifference." But it gave him an idea for a novel about a young man named Amory Blaine, falls in love with a beautiful blonde debutante named Rosalind, and then loses her because she doesn't want to marry somebody with so little money. Fitzgerald came back to his parents' home in St. Paul to write the novel. He pinned notes on the revision to his curtains, called the novel This Side of Paradise, and its publication in 1920, made him famous almost overnight, and it also won him the heart of a woman, Zelda Sayre, who married him that same year, 1920, in New York. 5 years later, Fitzgerald published his great masterpiece, The Great Gatsby, about a wealthy bootlegger, wears pink suits, throws extravagant parties, obsessed with winning back the love of his life, Daisy Buchanan. Fitzgerald was never entirely satisfied with the character, Jay Gatsby. He said, "I never at any one time saw him clear myself, for he started as one man I knew and then changed into myself." And it's the birthday of the blues singer Blind Lemon Jefferson, born Couchman, Texas, 1893. Born blind, took up the guitar, traveled to Dallas, met Leadbelly there, recorded Matchbox Blues, See That My Grave Is Kept Clean, in a part of town called Deep Ellum, which somebody described as the only spot on earth where business, religion, hoodooism, gambling, and stealing go on at the same time without friction. Here's a poem for today by Robin Sara, entitled 290. A city sparrow touches down on a bare branch in the fork of a tree, through whose arms the snow is shifting, swipes his beak against wood this side, then that, and flies away. What sight could be more common? Yet I think for such sights alone, I would live to be 90. Poem by Robin Sarah to 90 from Questions About the Stars, published by Brick Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by Reputation.com, helping businesses leverage a powerful form of advertising, online reviews. Learn more at Reputation.com. Written by Joy Biles, produced by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Are you under 20 and wish you could return to high school?
Join us Saturday, September 29th for a special drop-in day at Zach Gordon Youth Center.
From 1 to 4, you or someone you know can instantly re-enroll in high school, get free health and guidance services,
free food, and the chance to win some great prizes.
Plus, two teens who choose to go back to school will get a $1,000 internship at KXLL Radio.
That's a high school drop-in day Saturday, September 29th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Zach Gordon.
And you're listening to A Juno Afternoon here on K2. This is Katie Bosler, your Monday host. And with me in the studio are Swarupa Toth, the legal advocate at AWARE. Also Emily Wright, who is a legal advocacy
project director,
I can't read my own writing, at the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault.
Yep.
And also Mark Calvert, who at AWARE is the community engagement advocate. So it's good to have you all here, and they have this trio has lots to tell us about what's happening for October and Domestic Violence Awareness Month in Juneau. So,
yes.
Rupa, what do you have for
Katie,
us?
Katie, thanks for having us on.
Sure.
We do have a lot to talk about, and I guess the main part of our message is that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we really want to talk about how important awareness is in a community. So first off, what is domestic violence? We are envisioning domestic peacefulness, but oftentimes within our own living rooms, within our own kitchens, there is this pattern of power and control in intimate relationships and intimate partnerships that can be anything from, like emotional abuse. It can be calling names. When one person in a relationship ends up a little bit or a lot smaller and the other one is more aggrandized, it often starts out with maybe threats, a little bit of emotional abuse, or beginning to create isolation, visiting friends and family less and less. Minimizing and denying another person's point of view, maybe using the children against the other partner. It may start out that way, and it can escalate into very blatant emotional, physical, sexual, financial abuse. And this is domestic violence, and as Governor Parnell has made clear, it's really up to us to choose respect, that this is not okay, that this is not normal, and it often leads to a criminal act and in many cases lethal acts. It's a statistic that 1 in 4 women experience domestic violence, and in Alaska, 1 in 3 Native Alaskan women experience domestic violence. Nationally, 3.3 million children are victims of domestic violence. And there has been a lot of research done by our some of the people here in Alaska about the effect on brain development of children who've been exposed to and experience themselves by being exposed to domestic violence. And 15% of domestic violence victims are men. So our message about Domestic Violence Awareness Month is really the awareness part. What can we do? We, as community members, can let these people know that you are not alone. That's the power of the awareness that we all carry, that you're not alone. You're not out there by yourself. There's so much shame and so much guilt that women feel around this, and it takes a tremendous amount of courage to step forward and to talk to somebody else. So we want to bring forward what we can do and the options for people who are experiencing domestic violence, what they can do during this month, so that there is a sense of something that can be done. When you're ready, we're here. And that includes all of the services that we at AWARE, the Domestic Violence Sexual Assault Shelter, offer.
Right, and awareness, of course, goes along with AWARE. And what does AWARE stand for?
It stands for Aiding Women in Abuse and Rape Emergencies. And AWARE is really making some beautiful, beautiful offerings this month, mm-hmm. and we're working with Emily over at the Network Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault with some programs. And once again, with the key point of letting people know that they're not alone, and really honoring the courage that it takes mm-hmm. to come forward in this pattern of in a relationship where someone uses power and control over another. So I invited my friends here, Emily and Mark, to talk about a couple of the events that we have going on.
What do we have happening, Emily?
Well, we're really excited to be able to bring a great film called The Invisible War. It was a Sundance Film Festival Audience Award-winning film, and Academy Award-nominated director Kirby Dick. And basically, The Invisible War is an in-depth look at all of the branches of the military and the epidemic numbers of rape that are occurring within the branches of the military, a lot of which are never reported. And so it's just an amazing film interviewing veterans and young men and young women who have experienced rape in the military. This is a brand new film. And we are showing it October 10th at 7 p.m. at Goldtown Nickelodeon Theater. And we're going to open the doors at 6:30. We are suggesting a donation of $10. All of the proceeds are going to the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault and AWARE to help victims of domestic violence. And pretty sure we're going to be able to do a discussion session afterwards for people who want to stick around and talk about the film, because it's really, really powerful. But I'm happy that we were able to bring it to town.
Yes, so that's happening October 10th at the Nickelodeon. 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
Okay, and it's free?
It's free. Right. We're hoping people will donate, but it's free.
Okay, and that's just one of many events. You also have a walk a mile in her shoes happening on the 13th of October, Saturday. Yes?
We do, Katie. Thanks for having us on.
Sure. This is Mark Calvert speaking.
Yeah. So I have the lucky job of really working with men and boys in Juneau. And you'd think, maybe just thinking off the cuff, well, that might be kind of a difficult job to get guys involved in, you know, preventing domestic violence, preventing gender violence, violence against women and girls. And it's historically been pretty slow going, but, you know, my phone really rings. Guys are really interested in this in town, and they're involved in what we're doing. They're willing and active participants, and that's really cool. And in my past year at AWARE, I'm noticing it just kind of snowball, you know,
cool. So this is a new program. You just have been on the job for about a year now.
But it's been going for a few years, and then I came on last year. And one of the things we do is an annual walk a mile in our shoes, which is it's a 1 mile walk in high heel shoes for men and women. Anybody wants to come, and we've got plenty of high heel shoes. And really, it's an awareness campaign. It's an international march to end gender violence, and to really for guys to put themselves in women's shoes, victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. We're partnering with Southeast Alaska Board of Realtors to do this, and we're really, really excited about it because it's a fun event, and it also invites guys to the table, because we know you know, most guys out there are really good guys. It's a really small portion of guys who are perpetrators. So we're going after these 85, 90% of really good guys and saying, you know, it's great that you don't perpetrate violence, and here's what else you can do. You cannot stand by, you know. You cannot stand by. It's not good enough just not to be violent. So don't stand by. Don't condone it when it happens. So it's October 13th, Saturday, 9 a.m. at Sandy Beach, and there are lots of ways to pre-register out there. Of course, we've got some great partners around town. Nugget, Alaska Outfitter, you can go over there. Pavitz has been great. The Alaska Club as well. Everybody's really been very generous to let us register over there. It's a $15 pre-registration. Kids under 10 are free, and nobody's turned away.
And you can also register online at awareak.org.
You sure can. You sure can. And if you can't do the $15, it's just come on over.
And is it high heels, walk, or 5K run?
So it's a high heel one mile walk, or a 5K run.
Okay, so if you're running, you could use running shoes.
I know some friends who ran the Klondike with me a couple weeks ago who'd run it in high heels, but that's an optional thing. You can wear your running shoes, and
okay.
We have lots of good snacks and door prizes and a great warm fire afterwards.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah.
And then I guess there's also a fifth grade poster contest.
Yes, that's been going on around. We should see those up at the Nugget Mall. Mm-hmm. All the fifth grade classes around the Juneau Public School were involved to participate, and they have a special theme. And do you know what it is, Mark?
You know what? I don't know what it is.
You know what? That's because you gave me your special paper here. If peace begins with me, be the change you want to see. Ooh, I like that.
And you know what? So that will be up in the entire month of October. And another thing that I wanted to highlight is the women's self-defense class. This will be at Zach Gordon Youth Center. This is for women and girl teens ages 16 and older. And this will be sponsored by Juno Shotokan Karate Club. And that will be from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And they can register by calling me at AWARE.
Okay. And that's Saturday, October 23rd.
That's Saturday, October 27th.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay, October 27th, right. I guess I didn't have my calendar for
And then me. I think Mark has one more thing.
Oh, you know, one last thing we do with middle schoolers and high schoolers citywide during Domestic Violence Awareness Month is the White Ribbon Campaign Pledge Drive. So you've seen it on all those posters around town with the Thunder Mountain High School basketball team, and it's a pledge that a lot of people take that says, I pledge to never commit, condone, or remain silent about violence against women and girls. So we go into schools partnering with Southeast Alaska Border Realtors, and we're gonna ask kids to sign it during their lunch hour.
And then there's also a Purple Ribbon campaign too.
Yes, yeah, show your purple ribbon support. Those will be in many of the places on First Friday around downtown and all around Juneau. So that's a great way to let people know that you are not alone, that we do understand how difficult this can be.
Okay, so that shows your support for victims and survivors of domestic violence. The white ribbon is for young men to pledge.
It's
anybody. Condone this. Okay.
Anybody.
Okay. Yeah,
I'd love to see people showing their support in this way.
Yeah. And then you also have a healthy relationships class.
That will be on Tuesdays, 12 successive Tuesdays, starting the first Tuesday in October at a conference room in Bartlett Hospital. And you can call me at AWARE, Swarupa, to register for that. That's healthy relationships for women.
So a lot of stuff happening for Domestic Violence Awareness Month in October, thanks to AWARE. If people want more information about this, they could call you at 586-6623, or they can go to your website at AKAWARE. AWARE.org.
Perfect.
All right. Well, is there anything any of you would like to add?
Thank you so much. I think that we really want to take this opportunity this month to pause and show our support for the people all around us, whether we recognize or not that they are domestic violence victims.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Swarupa and Emily and Mark.
Thanks, Katie.
Thank you.
All right.
is Bird Note.
I used to gillnet salmon in Alaska, writes Bird Note listener Misha Noonan. At the fall equinox, we'd often get stuck at the far east end of the Copper River Delta, waiting out the storms. Once, the storms were so unrelenting that not only were fishermen unable to return to Cordova, but sandhill cranes were unable to proceed with their southeast migration. Every morning, a test flight of scouts would lift off and attempt to get around a nearby cape. The birds aloft chattered to the birds in the slough, the birds in the slough answering excitedly, but it wouldn't be long before the tone changed. In my opinion, from one of excitement to one of disappointment as the scouts had to turn back. The tenth morning broke calm and clear. The scouts lifted off at first light. Everyone was awake. Cranes, fishermen, ducks, geese, everyone. The scouts called loudly and excitedly to the flock on the ground. You could imagine what they might have been reporting. 1,000 feet, clear and calm. 2,000 feet, visibility unlimited. 3,000 feet, we're around Kayak Island and out of here. Soon, 10,000 sandhill cranes filled the sky. In 20 minutes, they were gone. Silence. The rally of the sandhill cranes was over for another year. Share your story at birdnote.org.
That was Irene Muller of Juno with Ordinary Boy, and she is one of four singer-songwriters who will be featured at the KRNN Showcase kickoff on Wednesday night at the Nickelodeon. And the hostess of that program is with me in the studio, and also a fellow Tideline DJ, Angelina Arns.
Hello.
Hello. Good to have you here, Angelina.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, Katie. Very exciting.
Yeah, this is very exciting. So for those of you who aren't familiar, KRNN kicked off last year a season of monthly showcases.
Yes.
Where we featured local and or visiting artists. And it's really a cool format at the Nickelodeon Theater on a Wednesday night where the artist plays music and in between are interviewed by the host. And then there's also wine and beer and snacks available. And then that whole program is played later on KRNN. And it's just kind of a cool thing to do for the community. And Angelina, tell us what you have in mind for this Wednesday.
Yeah, well, thank you, Katie. Yes, I've been to some of these concerts, and I'm really excited that we're doing this project for the station. I know you and I have had discussions. We both often have local musicians or musicians playing locally come on our show, and we like to interview them. They play live. It's just it's a really great opportunity to really... I like to say showcase local talent on the local radio station, and I think that was kind of part of this whole concert series, and I think each DJ kind of does their, you know, we all have kind of our genres of music. I know you and I kind of play some similar stuff, but I really have had the honor of having a lot of different local musicians who some of them are kind of under the radar and some of them have been playing like open mics or they're I think all of these have been on the Alaska Folk Festival kind of circuit. So my idea behind the singer-songwriter showcase was to get some of these younger musicians out in front of everybody in Juneau, and it's not just the Alaska Folk Festival or an open mic night, but it's really an opportunity to bring everyone kind of in a smaller, intimate setting with each musician up on stage where they get to play a set of their own songs. Everything's original that they've all been have written and are singing, and I think pretty much everyone has just an acoustic guitar. Someone may have someone do backup. You never know. Maybe there may be a collaboration between some of them up on stage, which would be totally fun. And then it's also an opportunity to kind of get to know them a little bit more. A lot of these musicians don't have CDs out there that they're selling. They may be on Facebook, but they don't necessarily have their music out there on the internet, like a website or that sort of thing. So it's just kind of, like you said, an easygoing, fun way for Juno to get out there, meet some of the new rising talent, and, you know, kind of showcase what they do.
Yeah, and who do you have, who's on the in the lineup for this Wednesday?
Well, we've got four musicians this Wednesday night, and we have Liz Snyder, who I had her on the show with me probably about a year ago, and I saw her a year or so ago, I think, at the Alaska Folk Festival, and she's played a lot of open mic nights, and Liz she's very talented. Her voice is just captivating. It's very engaging in it. And I know that anytime I've mentioned her name to some of the folks when I say, oh, yeah, you should come to this, and I start running down the list, everyone's like, oh, I like Liz. Oh, I know her music. So we've got Liz Snyder, and then also another talented musician, Brooke Morgan, who has played around town for years as well.
And I think both of them raised in Juneau, I
believe. Yes, yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. They're both local. Mm-hmm. And I know when I saw Brooke play the first time, she played mm-hmm. with our friend Meg Mackey, who mm-hmm. a lot of folks will remember Meg. So really, really great local musicians. And
I think that Brooke had a group a few years ago called the Folkinays.
Yes, yes, the Folkinays. That's right. And, yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun to kind of catch up with her. When I had her on the show with me a week or so ago just to kind of catch up with her a little bit, she said, you know, she played a lot around town, and I think she played quite a bit, and she's kind of backed off, you know, over time, taking a little break. So she's kind mm-hmm. of excited to kind of get back out there. And she talks about her interesting relationship with her guitar. So that'll be fun to kind of hear a little bit more about that. And then also another local musician, Irene Muller, will be performing. And I know you're quite familiar with Irene's music. She's a student at UAS, is that right?
She is a student at UAS, a biology student, as a matter of fact, but a phenomenal, in my opinion, singer-songwriter and great voice.
And I had her on my show just last Monday, and she's actually working on a CD right now that
yes.
she hopes to have out by this winter. Just great writing and just a natural voice.
Great. You know, and that's what they all seem to have in common, too. You know, Dean Frank also, he's not, he didn't grow up in Juneau. He's from outside of Chicago, but he travels back and forth, and he loves Alaska, and he has a soft spot in his heart for Juneau. So he's back in town, and he's got a lot of friends around here, and he's played open mics, and he's got a lot of, like, road stories. Like, he's kind of that, you know, he's traveling and meeting people and writing stories on the road, and...
Mm-hmm.
I think he may have just worked on a like an EP release. So I think he'll have CDs at the show or something for maybe a donation. But yeah, it would be nice to see if each of these musicians maybe does something a little bit more, you know, like Irene and Dean getting some CDs out, or just, you know, I know that Liz has some of her music online, and Brooke has talked about kind of getting. Kind of moving forward on some mm-hmm. new projects, so yeah, it's pretty exciting.
And but the fact that you've lined them all up for this event on Wednesday night at Nickelodeon at 7,
yes,
right,
yes,
is you know, says is a testament to their talent.
Oh yeah, they're all just very, very talented. You know, they all write their own music, they play it, and they're all very talented in their own ways. And you know, they could all do their own show, and it's just kind of fun to get them all together on the stage at the same time.
Well, Angelina Ahrens, we're looking forward to it very much. Anything you want to add?
No, I would just love to have everyone come out this Wednesday night, 7 to 9, at the Gold Town Theater. I think there are still tickets available.
Okay, and we can get them at the door here at the K3 stations
yes.
or online.
Yes, krnn.org.
Okay, see you Wednesday.
Thank you.
This is Liz Snyder with What a Gentleman. That was Liz Snyder with What a Gentleman, and what a voice She will be joining Irene Muller and Dean Frank and Brooke Morgan with Angelina Arnes, the host, at the KRNN Showcase, kickoff of our Showcase series on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at the Goldtown Nickelodeon Theater. Get your tickets online at krnn.org or at the door, or at the door here at K3 stations in advance. This is Katie Bosler, and you have been listening to A Juno Afternoon. I also want to let you know that the Roller Girls will be live on the web and at 360 North at 8 o'clock on Saturday. So if this is a 360 North website, you can Google that, and it'll also be at 8 o'clock on 360 North Television, public television here in the capital city. You are listening to K2 Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 in downtown Juno and Douglas. We also broadcast in the Valley in Ock Bay at 276 AF 103.1, Lemon and Schweitzer Creek taste to K269 AO at 101.7, and Gustavus listens at K201 AM 88.1. And now, all things considered.
The old adage is that negative advertising hurts both candidates. It just hurts the one doing it a little less than the guy he's going after.
Ad wars in a key battleground state.
For Monday, September 24th, it's...